Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The Apostle Paul. Good people, whenever we think in regard to this man and his conversion to Christ, can you imagine the impact that this has had upon the Christian nation or each and every one of us who are New Testament Christians? His conversion to Christ and all that he has given over in regard to the cause for Christ is just amazing. It doesn't start to compare with anything, I believe, that anyone prior to or maybe anything that anyone since has been able to do. Whenever he obeyed the gospel, can you imagine how that first Ananias must have felt? He would have been thrilled knowing that this one who was a persecutor of the church now has obeyed the gospel, and he had a small part to play in leading this individual to Christ. But also we learn in regard to this man in the full context of his obedience, and then too the way that people looked at him, is that many people feared there in Jerusalem. And they had a right to fear. He had persecuted the church. He had dragged Christians off into the street and made certain that they were beaten and taken off into prison often. They had every right to fear. But then also in regard to this, I believe that there were individuals who were judgmental of the Apostle Paul. And they were judgmental not in areas that they had reason or right to judge him. In fact, whenever we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul is speaking in reference to the judgment that many has placed upon him, as well as he looks in regard to the way in which he has or maybe has not even considered himself. But then in like figure, he concludes with the way that he knows that God is looking at him. And whenever he concludes in regard to the fact that God is going to be his judge, good people, I believe that the Apostle Paul was overjoyed. He was thrilled knowing that God was going to be the ultimate judge, that he, but not only he, that every individual would in someday stand before. Whenever Paul thought in regard to human judgment, we come to a consideration here that he said that it is a very small thing. And somebody might say concerning what it is that he said concerning those who were casting judgment upon him, what did he mean, Kevin, whenever he said that it is a very small thing? Good people, it's not that Paul was not concerned with what people thought of him. In fact, whenever we think in regard to the things that Paul did, always Paul was looking to the actions that he performed in life to make certain that they did not stand as a stumbling block to others. In fact, we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13, as well as what he states to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 14. Paul says that he would refrain from eating meat if he thought that it was going to cause his weak brother to stumble. And Paul was very concerned in regard to how his brethren were looking at him on a continual basis. Because people, not only how his brethren were looking at him, in like figure, he was concerned about the lost. How he presented himself before the lost. How they looked at him. How they examined his every word, every detail of the message that he was proclaiming concerning the Christ. And yet, in all of this, he was not concerned as to whether or not they were going to receive his message if he had taught them concerning truth, or and therefore to change it up in any form or fashion. But rather, Paul wanted to make certain that as he presented the gospel, that he presented it in truth, but then in like figure, that he presented the lessons in a diplomatic manner to where it was going to cause people to come to the Christ. Yes, Paul was concerned in part what people were thinking about him. Well, what is it then that Paul had in consideration whenever he says that whenever it comes to human judgment, I think that it is a very small thing? I believe that Paul was speaking in reference to what people thought about his status of life. Who he was. What he had done that had caused a name for himself. Did he wear a title or a position? Whenever it came to those things, Paul could care less. He counted it as a very small thing. But then too, as we look in regard to the things that in which he had accomplished in life, maybe as people looked at him, prior to his obedience to the gospel. They looked at him and certainly understood that he had risen far above many of his contemporaries. And for that reason, in the eyes of these fellow Jews, they would have looked at this man and said, he is a man of accomplishment in life. And Paul, in the way in which he looked at that, it didn't bother him as to what people thought or did not think about who he was and what he had done in life. But rather, good people, what he looked at as far as what people was doing and what people were thinking is whether or not he was going to be able to win them to the Christ. Why did Paul really and truly not care so much in regard to human judgment? Good people, because he knew that human judgment is fallible. Mankind can judge man. And at the same time, whenever man is judging man, whenever we are pointing fingers at one another, we have other fingers pointing back at ourselves. We ourselves are just as guilty sometimes of making judgment upon individuals and doing the same things that we are judging them for. And Paul knew that if some people were judging him in an unscriptural manner concerning his way of life, and yet at the same time he had sought to live his life for our God, he realized that in reality that their judgment was foul, that their judgment was not justified. He knew concerning mankind that there is only one really and truly who stands able to judge, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the perfect, and our God, who is eternal. But also in regard to what we find in reference to his consideration of human judgment, he understood concerning the criteria by which people judge others. As we think in regard to this, I thought of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 17, or verse 7, where it's stated there concerning Saul that people look at the outward appearance. And whenever the Apostle Paul looked at the human judgment, the way in which people were seeking to judge him, he realized that sometimes people were looking at the outer person versus looking at the inner person, at the heart of the matter. And not only with the Apostle Paul, in like figure, whenever people judge us, sometimes they look at us. And they will base their understanding of us, they will base their judgment of us, based out of what they see on an outward appearance. And sometimes it's according to the way in which we look, according to the way in which we dress or do not dress, whether or not we're a part of society and participate in the things that the world is participating in. And for that reason, the Apostle Paul, he did not care so much in regard to human judgment because he knew that oftentimes they were looking at the outward man. But God, our God, always looks at the inward man, the heart. But also we learn from the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 that Paul says, I do not even judge myself. Good people, there certainly is a place for self-examination. As you and I assemble together for the purpose of worshiping and praising our God, as you and I join together in the avenues of worship that God commands us to do and that we ought to aspire to do, whenever we come together, we need to make certain that we focus our attention fully upon making certain that God is glorified, that the saints are edified, and that those who are outside of the body of Christ are instructed concerning the way that God wants mankind to go. Also, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, God wants us not only to look outward in regard to the things that He has done, but in like figure, He wants us to look inward. In looking inward, you and I have an obligation to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are worthy of partaking of the Lord's Supper. But not only in regard to the Lord's Supper, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, we need to examine our faith. We need on a daily basis to look to our faith and to say, am I living my life in accordance to the standards of God? If I am, then yes, God is pleased with me. If I am not, then by all means, I do not need to stop there. I need from that examination and understanding concerning those things, then need to make the changes in my everyday walk of life. So there is a need for a personal examination or self-examination. And then in like figure, it is essential for each and every one of us to aspire to have a good conscience. In fact, what we learn in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 is that we are to love with a pure conscience. We are to look to our brethren and to have a clear conscience in regard to what we think about them, but also the way in which we look at Jehovah God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, we also understand that deacons are to serve concerning the faith. with a clear conscience or a good conscience. And good people, it's not only in reference to the deacons, but in like figure to every Christian. A good conscience is essential as we seek to serve God on a daily basis. But yet you and I understand that it does not stop with a self-examination or even with a good conscience. As we think in regard to why the Apostle Paul says concerning the fact that he did not even judge himself, good people, whenever the Apostle Paul considered his personal judgment, I believe that he also had in mind what he states in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. He says that the things that he had done prior to obeying the gospel, prior to living his life for God, serving as an apostle, reaching out with a proclamation of the good news of Christ, he said that he had done all of these things with a good conscience. Well, what does he mean? Good people, as you look into the book of Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11, you're going to find that he persecuted the church, that he drug them out into the streets, and that he was responsible for jailing Christians. In fact, I believe that also whenever you go to the book of Acts chapter 7, the latter portion of that context there, you're going to find that he was present at the stoning of Stephen. And good people, I believe that if he was not directly involved, he was indirectly involved in the context of all of these things. But yet the Bible identifies for us that he did all of these things with a clear conscience. And I believe that this is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul saying, I do not even judge myself. I know that my judgment within itself is fallible. I know that my conscience can lead me to do and to think that everything is okay. And you and I understand too, is what Paul did in that he was not alone. Within ourselves, we may think that something's okay. And for that reason, we may act upon that. But at the same time, is the conscience always a good guide? Think in reference to the denominational world. Whenever you and I look at the denominational world, are they doing things that are contrary to New Testament Scripture concerning matters of worship? Absolutely they are. But yet at the same time, they're doing it how? They're doing these things with a clear conscience. Whenever it comes to matters of salvation, in that I mean, by becoming a New Testament Christian, these people are doing things that are not in line with Scripture. What is it that they're doing? The people are saying that all an individual needs to do is to accept Jesus Christ into their heart and to say some sort of a sinner's prayer, and then God will forgive them and they will be a child of God. Do they do these things with a clear conscience? Yes, they do. Without question they do. But is their conscience a good guide in regard to those things? Absolutely not. But it doesn't stop with the denominational world. You and I may choose to do things in life. We may choose to do things that are immoral. But yet at the same time, because our conscience says that it's okay to do those things, we go ahead and do it. Is that a good guide? Most certainly not. To do unethical things. It's tax time, and it's time that we have to pay the piper in regard to the government. And whenever it comes to filling out our taxes, we may desire to cheat on those taxes, but at the same time, can we do that? Oh, people will do it every day with a clear conscience, but at the same time, is there yet another higher standard that we need to turn to in regard to that? Absolutely, there are laws on the book that you and I must answer to and that we must follow in order to be proper citizens here in this world. But good people, it even goes beyond that. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following, as my understanding, God is responsible for the establishment of the government. And for that reason, we need to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But yet at the same time, people will do these things with a clear conscience. Well, what do we learn in regard to the conscience? Good people, we cannot fully rely upon the conscience alone. We must rely upon yet another standard. And in all things, we need to always rely to turn to the standard of God and to apply the standards that He has laid out for us in order to make certain that it's not self that we are pleasing, that it's not others that we're seeking to make happy, but rather that we're always going to make certain that we have pleased Jehovah God. Good people, whenever it comes to matters of judgment, the Lord will be the judge. The Apostle Paul understood this, and he says, He who judges me is the Lord. in this, we understand from the Scripture, as is taught in the book of James, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Jesus said just prior to His ascension, crucifixion and later ascension into heaven, He said to the apostles, having told them that He was going to depart from them and they did not fully understand what was going on, He wanted to comfort them and He sought to comfort them with these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Good people, Jesus told the apostles, and subsequently through that message, you and I understand that it required His leaving this earth in order for there to be a preparation for us beyond this earth. And in fact, He says that, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus says that He is coming again. Whenever Jesus Christ comes again, what's going to take place? The Apostle Paul told those in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and following, he says that He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. Good people, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, he says, "And as is appointed a man wants to die, and then after this is the judgment." There is a judgment day coming. And the Bible tells us that it is certain that this day is coming. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, we read, "Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained." Good people, God wants mankind to know that Jesus is coming. And in His coming, there will be a day of judgment. It is certain. We know that God's judgment is one day going to fall upon the world, and whenever it falls upon the world, it's going to fall upon each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul stated this in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and following. Verse 10, he again points out concerning the certainty of God's judgment. In verses 11 and 12, he says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. God's judgment is certain. But then in like figure, God's judgment is fair. The world's judgment upon us, human judgment, is fallible. Personal judgment is fallible. But good people, whenever it comes to God's judgment, it is fair. How is it fair? Christ is going to be involved in the judgment process. And what do we think in regard to Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17? He says that in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a faithful and merciful high priest. Christ came to this world. He lived an exemplary life, and He died sinless for the sins of mankind. And for that reason, it is through Jesus that you and I are able to have the forgiveness of our sin. But then in like figure, whenever Christ lived here upon the face of the earth, He was able to relate with us now, knowing what it is that we go through each and every day of our life. Hence now He is a faithful and merciful high priest, and makes Him also a faithful and righteous judge. But yet we also understand concerning God's knowledge, that is the totality of the Godhead and their knowledge concerning our life upon the face of the earth. It's not like human judgment. It's not like personal judgment. We understand in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 that all things are naked or revealed in the sight of our God. The Apostle Paul, whenever he spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of My departure is at hand." He says, "I have fought the fight, have kept the faith, I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for Me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give Me in that day, but not unto me only, but unto all those who love His appearing." Good people, what does Paul understand concerning the judgment of God? It is coming. And whenever he stands before God, and whenever you and I stand before God, we will stand before a righteous judge who will know every aspect of our life, and He will know our hearts. He will not only look at the outward, but He will look at the inward person, the person that we have aspired to become. But yet at the same time that sometimes we have fallen, but yet at the same time we've turned to Christ for forgiveness, and our God then therefore knows concerning where we stand with Him. While man may not always understand these things, our God will. And our God's judgment will be comprehensive. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, says that God would judge the secrets of man according to my gospel. I find that interesting, that sometimes we believe that we're able to hide things from each other. Children will try to hide things from their parents, and sometimes parents will try to hide things or spouses from one another. Good people, that ought never to be, amen, in the home. If the home's going to be what it ought to be, what God commands it to be, we need to be transparent with each other and to treat and to love each other as what we can and should. But then also in regard to that, sometimes people will try to hide their life from the church. And what I mean by that is that they are church-going people. They are Bible-toting people and sometimes even Scripture-quoting people. But whenever you examine their life, in reality, it's in shambles. It doesn't line up with what they preach and teach, what they claim they stand for. And they claim that they're a Christian. And they're trying to hide those things from the church. You see, the Bible tells us that God knows the secrets of our heart. He knows the secret things of our life. And when we stand before God, all of those things will come out. And somebody says, Kevin, how in the world am I going to be able to remember everything I've done in life? Oh, it'll be there. In fact, we learn what is there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. He says that God will judge the good as well as the evil deeds that we have done. All of those things that are not covered in the blood of Christ will come out. We also learn in regard to God's judgment that it is final. Whenever every person stands before God in judgment, it will not be at all like that of human judgment. It will not be like sometimes we would seek to judge ourselves. We can be lenient upon ourselves or even sometimes harder upon ourselves, I believe, than what maybe the Lord will be in certain areas. But we also understand concerning God's judgment, not only will it be certain, not only will it be fair and comprehensive, good people, it will be final. It will be final. And in that final judgment, you and I will be sentenced. We will receive a reward if we are one of His faithful children. And that reward will be because we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind while we lived here. And not only were we willing to state that, but every single day of our life we sought to demonstrate that by living our lives in accordance to, by living our lives as God commands us to live. Heaven will be our eternal reward. But you know there's a flip side to that, and the flip side to that is negative. There's hell reserved for those who have not lived their life for God. And that too shall be eternal. These people will be eternally separated from God. Somebody might say tonight, Kevin, you're being a little judgmental. And you've talked about human judgment. And Kevin, you need to be careful about that. Let me judge myself. Oh, if I can't judge you, you can't judge yourself because yours is also fallible. Let's turn to the judge. And what does the judge say? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. And I don't say that with any arrogance, or rather I say that in fear for the soul that is outside of the body of Christ. If you're here tonight and you've been looking at your life, or maybe looking to the lives of others and trying to be judgmental, or maybe you've been looking to yourself and you've been judging yourself and your conscience has said you're okay, but yet you found that the Scripture, God's Word, identifies that you're not. We beg and we plead unto you to allow the judge, the righteous judge, to have an effect upon your mind, and upon that effect upon your mind, for you to make that decision to obey Christ in baptism, to live your life anew, and then so that whenever you stand before the Almighty God, our eternal judge, that heaven will be your eternal reward.